Just what he gave me.
Amen. You know, a lot of people tried to tell me different when I was called to preach. A lot of people was telling me I need this and I need that and I need something else. But I come to myself. And I found out that I had just everything right here that I need. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. I want to thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come. Always ready to preach when I have the opportunity. I'm not a preacher. If the preacher don't show up, there won't be no preaching. I'll tell you that this morning. But I thank God this morning that Brother Richardson has been having these camp meetings. And I look back here and heard him say that 25 years of camp meetings. And I'll guarantee you probably that they've been people come in, and I know that they have. They've come in and they have really enjoyed the meetings. But you wonder how many people that has come in and left still enduring. You know, we don't have to endure. Victory was won at Calvary. Not just for my salvation, but for my everyday living. Amen? Calvary took care of all of it. And I thank the Lord this morning that everybody can leave out of camp meeting every day and every night rejoicing in the Lord. You know, we rejoice about a lot of things. I had a new automobile out here once upon a time back in 2000. And I was really rejoicing because I had a new automobile. But then tires started going flat and transmission started going out. And I wasn't rejoicing too much about that. But I'm glad that when I got saved, I found something that I can continue to rejoice in. Amen. And if you would be here this morning and you're not rejoicing and you're saved by the good grace of God, then I'd say find that place of rejoicing. Amen? Amen. And I'm sure that as Brother Richardson has helped these meetings over the 25 years here, I'm sure that that's his main goal is to see the people of God get on fire for God. Amen?
Right.
If we don't get on fire for God, there's a lot of people out there that's going to get in the fire of the devil. Amen? But I want you to notice something with me this morning in the fourth chapter of Philippians and verse 4. The Bible says this. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Did you hear what that said? Rejoice in the Lord always. Now we can come together and we can rejoice one with another. We can fellowship one with another. But our main purpose here is not just to fellowship one with another, but our main purpose here is to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? And the Bible don't say just do that when you feel like it, or do that when everything is going good for you. But the Word of God says here, always. Amen? That will take you a long ways down the road in your spiritual life. Amen? In fact, it'll take you all the way through your life if we'll just realize where our rejoicing comes from and then find how to get that rejoicing. That rejoicing don't just come automatically. Amen? I can remember back when I got saved when I was 33 years old. And I can remember, I was up to here with the world. and just about ready to go under. But then my wife got saved. And she was rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. And she began to try to get me to go to church with her. So I thought, well, I'll just go to kind of keep peace in the family. But the Lord already knew what I was going for. Amen. I didn't. But I went to that little church, little white-sided church up in Holland, Michigan. And I sat down on the back row. And I sat there, and when the services began and the preacher began to preach, he didn't know me from Adam. Amen? But it seemed like that everything that he said, it was right, hit me, I mean just right down to a T. And as he was giving out the Word of God, it was telling me how low down and how lost and how undone that I was. And all the time, the Holy Spirit of God was gripping my heart and saying, but God loved you. But God loved you. And that day, I couldn't hardly wait for the preacher to get through preaching. I wanted to be saved. And that day I got saved, and I didn't only get just saved that day, but I found the rejoicing, I found the peace, I found the satisfaction that I had searched for 33 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, listen, the Bible says here, rejoice in the Lord. Always, and then He says, and again I say, rejoice. So the Lord must have really meant this. The Lord really must have wanted to get us into this. Amen? Amen? So as I began to think about how that you need rejoicing and how that I need rejoicing, then we need to find out how that we're going to get that rejoicing from the Lord. And certainly this morning in Psalms chapter 85, and I believe it's about verse, let's get back up here and see. I don't want to give you a wrong number. And about verse 6. Let's just back up to verse 5. You see, it's one thing for you and I to rejoice about the temporal things, but that is a rejoicing that comes to an end. Amen? But now when we're talking about rejoicing in the Lord, here in chapter 85 of the book of Psalms, and chapter 5, verse 5, says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Now here is a people that has known revival. I don't know how many times that they had been revived, and I don't know how many times that you have been revived. And friend, I can say to you this morning that I have been revived several times. Amen. There is just some things that we allow to happen in our lives many times that takes that reviving away from us. Amen. But let me say to you here, this is a people that had knew what revival was all about. And no doubt this morning, as I would speak to you, there may be people right in our midst today that once knew what revival was all about and may be asking the same question that these folks were asking, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" What a question. Let me say to you this morning, my friend, that if we will meet the conditions that God sets before us, He will always revive us. And there is not an individual in this building this morning or a born-again believer on the planet Earth this morning, but what needs revival if they don't have that reviving? If some way, somehow, something has come about that has robbed you from that great peace of God and the will of God, then my friend, let me say to you this morning, I want you to know
according to the Word of God this morning, He will restore that rejoicing, but it takes revival in your soul for you to rejoice in the Lord. You say, how do you know, people, preacher? Let's just look. He says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Huh? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Folks, this is what it's all about. If you want something that will give you a satisfaction, that will give you a peace, my friend, that will settle you, then it's going to take a revival in your soul to bring about that rejoicing, my friend, that you need and that I need. And we have a God that wants to give it worse than we want it. Amen. I got to thinking about this. And what a question for these people to ask. Wilt thou not revive us again? Amen? Listen to me. God is always in the reviving business when the people of God will meet the conditions that God sets before them. And the revival comes when we're willing to do this. Verse 8. Here he says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. When I am ready to hear what the Lord has to speak and willing to apply that to my life, then I can have reviving. Then I will have the reviving, I might say. This is all that keeps an individual from being revived of the Lord, and that is rejecting of what God wants to give them. Amen. Amen? If I am in communion with the Lord, I'll guarantee you that I'm going to be walking around with revival in my soul. I'm going to be rejoicing over what I've got in the Lord. And this is what every one of us needs. Look what that will supply you with. Verse 6. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. Folks, the Word of God says that God will bring peace to an individual that will pass all understanding. I heard someone say one time that they preached on that kind of peace, a peace that passeth all understanding. As he stood back at the door when services were over, shaking hands with people, that a lady come by him and said, "Sir, I'd like to ask you a question." He said, "Sure." She said, "Tell me what kind of peace this is." He said, "Lady, I cannot tell you what kind of peace that is. It passes all understanding."
Amen.
What are you saying this morning, preacher? I'm saying that God can give you something this morning like you have never had before. God can stir your soul this morning with blessings that you never knew was even available.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
But it depends upon you. You see, God stands ready. Amen. God has already supplied everything that we need. Amen. For that place that's called heaven and for this place that's called earth. Amen. Every believer has access to everything that he's going to need to make him what God wants him to be. But what we have got to realize
it is that you and I are on the needing end. Amen? God don't need nothing. Never has, never will. But you and I, my friend, this side of glory land, may I say to you that we're going to find ourselves in need every day of something that will bypass, something that will forepass anything that we could ever muster up on our own. But here the Bible says this people that was coming calling for revival again, friend, and I can say to you this morning, probably most people that's in this building this morning that's been saved any length of time, brother, they've had to come more than once to be revived. But thank God when we come on the terms that God sets before us, brother, again and again and again, God meets the need. Revival, revival. When I think of camp meeting, that's what I think about. Amen? I think about a time to get on fire for God, get revived for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might leave this building and be some benefit to those people out there. Amen. Well, it's not all done inside the house of God. This is the place of worship. This is the place where we come and learn how to rejoice in the Lord and how to perform the things that God sets before us to do. This is where we come to learn that. Then we leave this building and we enter the mission field out there where the sinners are. And friend, they need what we have. And brother, they need to see in evidence that we do have something. Amen? I'm glad for what I got this morning. You know, I've told my church when I was pastoring, time after time and after time, if you get any joy, you're going to have to get your own because you're not getting mine. Amen. God, give this to me. Amen. And I'm not about to give it away. Amen. I'm not giving it to you and I'm not giving it to the devil out there. But my friend, I'm going to listen to the Word of God and I'm going to be willing to receive what God lays before me that I might have the rejoicing that I need. And an individual would be foolish to leave a service without having that rejoicing flooding their soul, being revived, brother, of the Spirit of God, that we might go out there and do the work of God. Amen. Listen to me. If I depended upon self this morning, I'll guarantee you probably wouldn't nobody hear about the Lord from me. But friend, listen to me. When you get that rejoicing and when you get revived, you can't keep your mouth shut. Amen. It'll stir you. It'll cause you to see, really see the condition that the world's in. Sometimes we forget where we were at, don't we? Oh my. But listen to me. This people says, hey, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For He'll speak peace to His people and to His saints. Listen to me this morning. God wants to speak to your heart and to my heart every day of our lives. And I hope that you allow Him to speak to your heart every day of your life. Oh, listen, friend. Salvation is one thing that comes to stay. Amen? I don't have to worry about losing that. Amen? I'm saved and saved forever, and the devil can't do a thing about that. But, brother, he can try to get me down and out and my joy gone, my reviving gone. And he can try to set me down somewhere that I don't tell somebody else what they can have.
There was a man called David. I know everybody's familiar with that name, right? A man that the Word of God says was after God's own heart. Now you listen to me this morning. You are not above falling into the clutches of the devil and losing your testimony and losing your zeal for God. None of us is above that this morning if we get our eyes off of the Lord. But you let me say to you this morning that David, after man after God's own heart, brother, he decided to stay some one day where he wasn't supposed to stay. Amen? He should have been out there with the men of God on the battlefield. Amen? Battling, and he decided he'd stay behind. How many times do we make our own decisions? David fell into sin. I don't have to tell you all about what David did. You already probably know what David did. But boy, I'm glad that there was a man of God that seen the condition that David was in, and he was willing to come to David and put his finger on him, and he said, "You are the man. You're the one that's out of fellowship with God. You're the one that's lost your joy." How many times, Nathan came to David, how many times does the Spirit of God come to you and I and say, "Hey, it's you that needs something"? It's awful easy to push it off down on somebody else. But we need to come to realize that we are the ones that makes the decisions for our lives, and we are the ones that God, the Holy Ghost, is going to come and reckon to our senses the things that we need. And David, knew what he needed. Amen. Knew what he had lost. Look with me in Psalms 51. Psalms 51. A good place for an individual to start to get themselves into the position that God can once again bless their lives and give them what's needed. But look at this with me this morning, if you would. Here comes Nathan has done come down and put his finger on David, and David has come now to see that he has a need and willing to correct the problem. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." Boy, isn't that wonderful? Here is David out of fellowship with God and done all he committed adultery and also had a man killed. And here he is coming before God, and God with His loving kindness. David knew that if David would get his heart right, that God would show to him the mercy and loving kindness once again. Let me say to you this morning, it doesn't make any difference where you're at this morning. God loves you. And God is ready, amen, to show His mercy and loving kindness to each one of us as we have need. Look what He goes ahead and says here. "According to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude." The multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Lord, I know I've got them. You see, that is a big end of getting things right, is to bring ourselves to understand and to know that we've got a problem. It can't be swept under the rug and forgot about. Amen?
But it's got to be dealt with. And here David is coming, and David is ready to deal with this. Amen? Look what he says. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. If you want rejoicing in your soul and revival in your soul this morning, we're going to have to come clean before God. He said a thoroughly washing. I mean, that's do it all over. Amen? Not just wash my hands or my feet, but David is saying, I need a thorough cleansing. Sin is sin, and sin has to be dealt with before we can have the rejoicing of the Lord. But thank God, here is David coming and calling for a thorough cleansing. And friend, let me say to you this morning, he says, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Listen, if I claimed to be a child of God, and I wasn't troubled with sin in my life, I would be checking my salvation. Amen? Listen to me this morning. Friend, here is David, like I said, has a man after God's own heart. I mean, he loved God. Amen? And I'm telling you today, there may be people right in our midst today that once loved God more than they love God today, and that's not the way it ought to go. It ought to be, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saved and He keeps me, and He's the one I'm waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Now let's see what this will produce. Amen? Look at verse 11, 12, and 13. He said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, friend, may I say to you, in the Old Testament was different than the New. The Holy Spirit was on the men. Amen? In our day and time, the Holy Spirit is inside the believer. Amen? And may I say to you this morning that He is there for a purpose, and He is there to give us what we need. He's not going to leave. You may grieve Him, and He may not work in your life the way He needs to work and the way He could work, but He's not leaving. The best thing that I could ever found is never going to leave. Can you imagine that? Boy, I found a lot of things through my life I wish would have left. Amen? But I'm so glad today that I've got something in God today that's never going to vacate. He's there. In my bad times and in my good times, He's there. Isn't that good to know this morning that no matter what kind of a problem that you're having, brother, the Holy Spirit is still there with you, trying to get possession of you and trying to get you to a place to where you can get victory over those things. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? I messed up and He's there trying to straighten me up. Amen. Look, cast not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me thy, what? The joy of thy salvation. You see, David didn't lose salvation. That's why I'm trying to say to you this morning, that you may be here not enjoying the blessings of God, but if you're saved by the grace of God, you still got salvation, and in that salvation, you have the opportunity to have everything else that you need. Man, oh man, let me say to you this morning, as I was studying this about 10, 11 o'clock last night, and again about 5:30 this morning, I had no idea that God was going to flood my soul this way. Amen. Ain't God good?
Amen.
God's mercy endureth forever. Let's go on. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. There's that joy. Amen? And look with me what this will do for you if you are restored and enjoying the joy of God. Look what it'll produce. Isn't this wonderful? I can never get enough of the Word of God, because He always takes me somewhere and shows me something that I could have other than what I already have. Look what it says in verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Woo! David said, if you'll restore the joy of thy salvation back to me, then I'll be productive for you. Friend, if you're not productive for the Lord today, it may not be because you don't have salvation, but it could be this morning because that you've lost the joy.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I know I've got salvation, and I know that that's going to last forever. I know that that's going to last as long as God lives, as long as God lasts, and God is not sick, and God's not going to die.
Amen.
Therefore, listen to me, folks. I am saved by the grace of God, going to stay saved, but I'm going to need some help along the way, and I'm going to have to be restored time after time after time, and so are you. But let me say to you this morning, we have a God that's in the restoring business. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. Hey, David said here in 13, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You hear what that said? Brother, I'm going to win some, or I'm going to lead some to Christ. If I'm productive for the Lord, somewhere down the line, somebody's going to bow their knee and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, says the Word of God. That's not what I said. I just become the reader. God's the writer. And you can't get nothing no better than that. But here we can see what is needed to restore. David said, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin. And then on down there he said, God, it's just you and you only. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes it's not just you and God involved. Sometimes there's got to be restoration made between maybe you and somebody else. Amen? But if you want the joy, if you want the peace, if you want the satisfaction, if you want something, my friend, that will stir your soul, then we're going to have to come to a place to where we're going to have to be willing to do whatever that God has required. But if I'm rejoicing in the Lord, then my rejoicing is going to be brought about by revival. Amen? So here, David is pleading with the Lord, and he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Amen. Isn't this what God wants out of us as the children of God? He didn't just leave me here to battle this old corrupt world for nothing. Amen. If He'd have been done with me when He saved my soul, I believe with all of my heart that I would have flew out of this place.
Amen.
Amen? I would have been in the presence of God, but God was just starting with me when He saved my soul. That was just the starting place where God could begin to do His work through me and through you. Give up. Give up. Give up. Amen. That's what God's hollering this morning. Give up. Give up. I don't know your heart today, and it wouldn't do me no good if I did. I couldn't do nothing about it. But let me say to you this morning, friend, if you are not in the will of God and you are not enjoying the rejoicing of the Lord this morning, you need some revival in your soul that you can enjoy these meetings that's going to go on throughout the week instead of enduring them. I'd rather enjoy. Listen to me. It's hard to keep me quiet back here when somebody else is up there. God give me a dose of can't help it.
Amen.
Amen. You got that this morning? Boy, there is nothing like having the blessings of God, enjoying all the good things that God has for you. Nothing like that. Our world out there don't have nothing to offer but heartaches and troubles. But God's got something better than that.
Amen.
God's got sweet peace that should flood your soul this morning. God's got something that you can spend this week in camp meetings and come closing out time. You say, "Boy, I wish this could go on another week." Instead of saying throughout the week, "I wish this thing could get over." Folks, if we feel that way about the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel saying of the Word of God, the testimony of the Word of God, there is something wrong. There's no place I'd rather be than where I'm at this morning. And God saw fit that I could get here. Hey, do you want to be productive for the Lord? Do you really want to do something for God? Then get restored. Get your joy back. Amen? Now, according to the Word of God. David said here, "Boy, if you'll just restore me,
and give me back that joy that I once had. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. Hey, I'll be looking for a job even in the church that I might help somebody. Boy, that's hard to find anymore, isn't it? Did you ever think of this? If all the children of God that's members of this church was in the position where God wanted them this morning, would you think this morning that there would be a need in the house of God? No, no, no. The reason there's always needs for workers in the house of God is because somebody is shirking. Amen? Boy, you get restored and get that joy, you can't be quiet. I used to be a very quiet individual. I remember back when we first got married, my in-laws would come over and they'd want me to play the guitar and sing, and I say no. Huh? Now they could come over and they couldn't get me shut up. They said, take that guitar away from that man. But this is what we need, folks. And this is the beginning of the meeting. What a time that it would be if you would just acknowledge where you're at in the Lord and then let God take care of that. Brother, how that you could enjoy the rest of these meetings. How that you'd be out there to your neighbor's house trying to get them down to the camp meeting. This is what God saved you for. He saved you and He saved me that we would go forth bearing the precious seed. Amen. And He said, if you will, doubtless you'll come again bringing your sheaves with you. Hey, this is the way that God has planned to win the world out there. He has planned that you and I could have a little part in it. Carry the Word of God and let folks see what they have to do to be saved. Without the Word of God, nobody's going to be saved. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And I'm about to go over. Maybe you're done ready over. I don't know, brother. But I want to say to you this morning, God is still looking for a man. Or a woman, or a girl, or a boy that will just get their hearts right with Him, get revived, and beginning to say, what would you have me to do? Would it be a blessing, brother, if you had people coming to you all the time saying, Brother Richardson, what, have you got something I can do? I'll guarantee you, you'd never get a no. I've been there. I'd say, yeah, you got any friends that want to get in on this? Huh? But now listen to me this morning. God wants us to be productive. We complain about so many things that we within ourselves cannot do anything about. But we don't have anything happening this morning that God can't take care of. You know, I thought about revival. I thought about 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I'm done. Here we see the condition that has to be made in order for God to hear us. Amen? The Word of God says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Well, if He can't hear me, He ain't going to bless me. But listen to me this morning. We are complaining and complaining and complaining. Amen. I know that I fit probably in that crowd
of complaining about our nation. Friend, our nation, if something drastically is not done, our nation is gone. You will be told where you can work, how much you can make, kind of house that you can live in, where you kind of car that you can drive, and you're going to be told about everything that you can do. But I got news for them. If God's people would just listen. Here in 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm back over here at 12. I like this. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers. That's what it's all about, folks, getting the ear of God. Once again, you're going to have to be in the will of God. Amen? Are ready to get in the will of God. Look at this when we're done. I've heard your prayers. I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence amongst my people. Look at this next verse. These can be removed. Don't really have to be. Amen. Listen to me. If my people which are called by my name, and I don't just believe that that's just being saved and nobody else knows about it. Amen. Somebody's got to call you by that name. Amen? But look here what he says. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then something's going to happen. He said, then will I hear from heaven. God ain't even listening till the people get ready to do this. He says, goes ahead and says, then will I heal. Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Folks, that's the Word of God. And I believe every word of it. Do you believe it? Do you believe if God's people, there's a lot of people saved, amen? But there's a lot of people that is saved that's not walking with God. Here is calling for a walk of God's people. He says, if we will do this, then he says, I'll do this. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Amen. Would you agree with me this morning that our nation needs a healing? Amen. One sure way to get it. And there's not another. Huh? If my people, which are called by my name, will pray, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. He didn't say way. He said ways. Seek out all those things that are keeping you out of the will of God and give them up. Amen? He says, then will I forgive their sin and will heal their land. Do you want a healing this morning? It's going to take a rejoicing in the Lord
through revival to get this done. God wants to do it. Are you ready this morning to hear what God the Lord will speak? He said, what do you speak? He will speak peace to His people and to His saints. Folks, there's no peace without God. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because I lived 33 years in that mess out there. Oh, every little bit I think I found just exactly what I was looking for. A week later, that wasn't it. Got to find something else. One day in that little white church, I walked down that aisle and I received just what I'd been needing all of my life, the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be here this morning, you may not know Christ. Brother, that's the greatest need that an individual has. You can't have anything else in God till you have that. But thank God that gives you a place to where you can enjoy some other things. This morning I ask you, what do you need this morning? God can supply and wants to supply. Brother Richardson.